NFL Draft Report today on WEOL, brought to you by Nick Abraham Auto Mall, Route 57 East Broad Street, Elyria. Also, test drive a new Ford, Buick GMC, and pre-owned car, SUV, or truck at Nick Abraham Auto Mall. And we have with us the Browns beat reporter for the Chronicle-Telegram. You read all about brownzone.com. He's got the podcast going as well. Scott, good morning. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Right. Craig wants to know what your rhythm of the day is going to be like. You're going to – what's – did they shutter the Berea, or what's going on with that sort of thing? What do you know?
Actually, they did. They're not going to open it to the media today because they don't expect anything to happen. So I'll be in Berea Friday, Saturday, but not tonight. So I'll just watch it on TV and keep an eye out for anything that could affect the Browns, like a team that might need a quarterback for Baker Mayfield, or, you know, the receivers and defensive ends that get drafted that the Browns might be interested in.
Right, and you put together a mock draft. How difficult or easy was that, or is it different from any other year doing that?
It was impossible. I mean, it's always tough, right, because you get one pick wrong and it screws up everything else. But, you know, there's a domino effect. The difficulty this year is the quarterbacks, right? There's plenty of years where you say, okay, I know three quarterbacks are going in the top six or four quarterbacks are going in the top 20, whatever the case may be. And this year, you just don't know. And I didn't have a quarterback going until number 20. And it's tough to forecast trades. So there could be a trade up for a quarterback. But without trades, you know, if Carolina doesn't take a quarterback at six and Atlanta doesn't take one at eight, Seattle doesn't take one at nine, all of a sudden there's not a whole lot of teams that look like they're fits for quarterbacks. So that made it difficult.
Scott, do you think the Browns are in a position to draft the best available player or the best available player for a position they need? In that sort of in that we need to win now mode.
Yeah, it's tough. And I was having that discussion with somebody yesterday, one of my buddies. I think they want to be in the best position available spot, and I think they're pretty close to that. But there are needs. And I think Andrew Berry, the general manager, sets it up so that he can address those needs in the draft. So, you know, would I be absolutely floored if they took an offensive tackle at 44, which they don't really need this year? No, but I fully expect them to address one of the key areas of need, which is receiver, defensive end, and defensive tackle. So I do think it's kind of a combination of best player, but leaning toward best player at a position of need.
You selected David Ojabo, the defensive end. That's who you put on your mock draft there as well. Was that like A++ choice, or was there like A, B, and, you know, either or, depending on where, when you got to that point?
Yeah, it was, to me, it was interesting. You know, I mean, I'm just filling out the 43 picks ahead of the Browns, not really saying, okay, I want this guy to get to the Browns. I really like him. He would have been a top 10, 15 pick if his Achilles didn't tear during his pro day at Michigan in March. So I think you could get really good value for him as long as your medical team says, yeah, we expect him to make a full recovery. So I do like him at 44, and I think when you talk about the Browns, state of the Browns roster, I believe it's in a position where they can afford to take a guy that may be better in 2022 and 2023, I'm sorry, 23 and 24, than he is this year. Right. And I think the roster is at that point. So that gives them some flexibility. You know, if the right receiver had fallen to 44, that would have been very tempting because I think those are the two biggest needs. But the receivers I really liked had already gone in my mock draft. So Ojabo was kind of the easy pick for me right there.
Is the top of the draft set at all, or is there still unknown things? I mean, has anybody committed anything or said anything, or is everybody just playing it really close?
No, it's difficult. I mean, but plenty of years you know that which quarterback's likely going to go number one. Right? And even in 2017, we kind of knew the Browns were going to take Myles Garrett. So it wasn't a sure thing, but that was, you know, the assumption. Last year, Jacksonville was going to take Trevor Lawrence. The year before, Cincinnati was going to take Joe Burrow, and you knew that for months. It's not the case this year. And, in fact, there's not a consensus on who Jacksonville's going to take at number one. So that makes it even tougher, right? You could get the first pick wrong in your mock draft, and then they're all, you know, plenty of them are going to be wrong after that. So, Trayvon Walker, the defensive end from Georgia, is the betting favorite to go number one. But Jacksonville could also take an offensive tackle. In fact, I had them taking an offensive tackle when I started doing my mock draft Tuesday night, and then they made a long-term extension to the left tackle that they have on the roster, Cam Robinson. So it just felt like if you're going to make a long-term commitment to a guy a day before the draft, do you go ahead and draft a right tackle with the first pick when you need a pass rusher? So that's why I switched to pass rusher.
And, of course, the local in Ohio, we look for Ohio State to see. And it looks like it's the wide receiver core that's really going to make the splash in the draft tonight.
Yeah, I mean, two of them could go in the top 15. I'd be shocked if Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave didn't go in the top 20 or 25 picks. So, yeah, that's two receivers. And it's been a while since the Buckeyes have had a receiver go in the first round. I want to say somebody told me it was Ted Ginn Jr., which is a while ago. And you would think that the Buckeyes have so many quality receivers, but some have gone in the second and third rounds, like Michael Thomas and Terry McLaurin. They've gone later, not first-round picks, but I think that'll change this year for sure with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. And then they'll have – there's a left tackle that might sneak into the first round from Ohio State. They have a tight end that's considered one of the top tight ends, Ruckert. So you'll have – you might not have the, you know, 8 or 10 Buckeyes that sometimes you do, but you'll have a good handful for sure.
Do you expect the Browns to get another tight end somewhere in the draft?
It's interesting. I've been going back and forth on that, and now I'm leaning toward yes. You know, we know how much Kevin Stefanski loves tight ends, right? He led the league in using three tight end sets a year ago. But, you know, they cut Austin Hooper because he'd been a disappointment. So, and they franchise tagged David Njoku. So they have Njoku, they have Harrison Bryant, then they have just a couple of other guys. And with Deshaun Watson at quarterback now, I feel like the offense is going to change significantly. And the question for me is, does that mean less tight ends or fewer tight ends? And I think the draft could go a long way in telling us that. If they don't draft a tight end, then I think we'll see much fewer three tight end sets. But if they draft a tight end in, you know, in the third or fourth round, then I think that's a recommitment to using two and three tight ends a lot.
Are you going to write a final Baker Mayfield story this weekend? Is that going to have an end to it today, this weekend?
I hope so. I was writing one, my kind of, you know, assuming he's going to be traded story. I was going back to that last night. I started about a month ago when he asked to be traded. I was going back to it last night before my laptop quit on me. But, yeah, I mean, that's the hope, right? That's the hope for Baker Mayfield. That's the hope for the Browns. That's the hope for me, is that there's resolution to the Baker Mayfield drama this week, because it's only going to get messier from here if he's not traded this weekend, right? Because then you're talking about, does he show up for mandatory minicamp? Does he talk? You know, how's he in the locker room? All those questions could be resolved if the Browns are able to find a trade partner during the draft.
Yeah, we shall see. It's kind of an interesting draft. Glad we're all talking around here. We're glad that this was not last year's draft, right? If it was hosted in Cleveland and you're like, sorry, you don't get a pick, but thanks for entertaining the party. It's like being the host and not getting to eat. But it's in Las Vegas where they're going to put on a big show. Las Vegas, you know, I've seen some of the award shows and different things they've done out there. They're going to have a big show in Vegas, so it should be a fun night as well to watch on the tube. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll keep following you in the Chronicle and also with BrownZone.com. Thanks for your time.